Skagway Assembly considers the rules for mobile food units. And news that'll get you excited about going to the dentist. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell, in for Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly meets Wednesday in a departure from its usual Thursday meeting. The March 12th meeting is a rescheduled meeting from March 6th. On the agenda are some typical housekeeping items, such as approving the annual cost of living adjustments normally passed each year, and the group will review and revise its assembly goals, a task that hasn't been done since 2011. Under new business, the assembly will consider a request by permitting official David Van Horn to better address mobile food units in municipal code. Van Horn writes in a memo to the Assembly that each year he gets inquiries about the regulations regarding mobile food units. Municipal code only addresses these types of businesses under a section of code regarding restricted businesses. That chapter loosely addresses mobile food units in the Business Historic Zoning District and along Congress Way to the railroad dock. Except for that area of town, Skagway has no regulations regarding food units. Van Horn is urging the Assembly to either decide to allow mobile food units and put provisions in place to regulate them, or decide to exclude them all. The Assembly also plans to meet in executive session to discuss candidates for the borough manager position. A complete agenda and meeting packet is available online at skagway.org. The Skagway Assembly meets at 7 p.m. Wednesday in Assembly Chambers. Southeast Regional Health Consortium, or SEARCH Clinic in Haines, will soon have permanent dentists on staff. SEARCH, the only provider of dental care in the Chilkat Valley, announced they have signed contracts with two dentists to move to Haines permanently and expand the clinic's dental program. The hires come after nearly 2 years without a permanent dentist at SEARCH. In that time, visiting dentists have regularly provided intermittent coverage, and the jobs remained open for application. Last year, Haines also lost its only private practice dentist, Dr. Patrick Smalley. Since then, requests for services from visiting SEARCH dentists far exceeded the clinic's capacity, and patients sometimes had to wait months for an appointment or travel to Juneau for appointments. SEARCH has been advertising for a dentist for the past few years. They made a hire at one point, but the dentist quickly left, saying they didn't like the town and remoteness when they arrived. But clinic director Marcia Scott says the two new dentists they've signed with have familiarity with the area and small towns. Dr. Josh Wagner currently works in a small Wyoming town and has been to Haines as a visiting dentist at SEARCH. He's expected to join the local SEARCH staff by this summer. Alex DeYoung is currently a resident at the Juneau SEARCH Dental Clinic. He's signed on for a second permanent position at the Haines Clinic when his residency is complete and is expected in Haines in mid-July. Scott says the clinic is expanding its services with two dentists because of the demand as the only dental care provider in the Chilkat Valley. There are Skagway men nearing their 80s who have memories of Boy Scout Troop 38. The local Boy Scouts of America troop has been around at least that long. There are grown men who remember hiking the Chilkoot Trail, then paddling from Whitehorse to Dawson with the group in the 90s. And there are young dads, like Andrew Tronrud, who remember the troop starting the Frostbite Challenge, an annual winter competition that still continues today. Of course, Skagway's younger generations may or may not grow up with those kind of memories, depending on whether there is a local scouting program. That's why Melissa Loken is on her way to Skagway.
You know, I know that in the smaller communities it's hard because there's not a lot of things for kids to do and organized things for kids to do, and I really want to see, at least in Skagway, you know, something to get started and stuff for the boys to do and just ways for them to grow.
Loken is the district executive for the Boy Scouts of America. She works out of Juneau, and her area runs from Ketchikan to Yakutat. But this week, she's focused on Skagway.
And I know in Skagway there hasn't been scouts for at least a couple of years. But in Southeast, there's probably about 500 to 600 boys that are involved in scouts.
Many local parents have dedicated their volunteer time to the Boy Scouts of America through the decades. Right now, Tronrud is working with Loken to gauge interest among kids and parents to possibly revive the Skagway troop. A meeting Wednesday evening at the school invites parents to talk about scouting in Skagway.
It's a volunteer organization, so you know you have to have parents to help run it. So that's kind of what that meeting is, to see who's all interested and to see who wants to make it happen there.
Scouting is active in the Northern Lynn Canal, with Girl Scouts in Skagway and Haines and the Venturer Scouts being a popular organization for both boy and girl high school age students in Haines. That group has been working to prepare for a trip to Australia this summer. Boy Scouts begins with Cub Scouts in first grade, when a little boy can become a tiger cub, wolf, bear, and finally a weebelow.
And they slowly advance, through the ranks, and they learn a lot of different outdoor skills and everyday skills, and just how to be a better person, how to be respectful to others and other people and other property, and just have fun, too. That's the big thing, I think, that I like to get across, that it's, it's fun and you get to do stuff with your friends outside and that kind of thing.
Loken will speak to boys who are at least in first grade about Scouts during school on Wednesday, then to parents at an open meeting at 6:30. The meetings are mostly for younger Scouts and their parents, but any older students interested in Scouting are also welcome.
It's a really great program, and I'm not just saying that because I work for the Scouts. My son and my daughter are both in Scouts, and I believe strongly in the program and what it does for kids, and I've seen it change my children for the better, and I was a Scout too, so I just want to give other kids that chance to have that in their lives.
The meeting for parents interested in Boy Scouts of America in Skagway is Wednesday, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Skagway School. The northern southeast city of Yakutat is gearing up for a wave energy experiment. If it's a success, the community of about 650 residents could lower its high diesel-fueled power costs. The system could also be a model for some other isolated Alaska cities. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Scott Newland opens the door to Yakutat's new power plant. It's not so bad outside the sound-absorbing walls, and that's good news for Newland, who's headed up Yakutat's power system for 15 years.
That new plant just changed the whole atmosphere, especially where I'm living right next door to it.
Its generators run more efficiently, and Newland's proud of that. But power costs in Yakutat remain high.
Since I've been involved here, that's always been a goal, is to find a different source of energy other than diesel fuel.
These days, he's thinking about a power source with a different sound.
Wave energy is probably the most exciting thing we have going.
Yakutat's geography doesn't work for hydro. Weather limits what you can get out of solar and wind. Wood-fueled biomass got serious consideration, but with only 450 electrical customers, it doesn't have the efficiencies of scale. That's why the town is looking toward the ocean. A number of emerging technologies are available. Yakutat's trying out a smaller device called the Surge Wave Converter, made by Boston-based Resolute Marine Energy. It's sort of like a paddle hinged to a base on the ocean floor. The back-and-forth movement powers a pump, which pushes water through pipes to the shore. That pressure is the carbon-free energy that runs an electrical generator. Resolute Marine has tested the Surge at a North Carolina research facility. Yakutat planner Bill Lucy says it's time to try it out in the Gulf of Alaska.
We know it makes electricity. It survived an East Coast storm. So now what we need to know is, how much is it going to cost to anchor them to the bottom so they don't bounce around in a West Coast storm?
Yakutat hoped to put a test unit in the water this year. If it worked, it would have added about a dozen more later on. But permitting and other delays pushed that back to 2015. So the job now for Lucy and others is to research possible impacts to the community and the environment.
Since we're not going to be generating electricity underwater, there probably won't be an issue with the fish. Usually what can happen is your sharks and your rays can become attracted to underwater cables. But this project will simply pump pressurized seawater to a shore-based plant, and the electricity will be generated on land.
He says seabirds aren't expected to be an issue since the system's underwater. Acoustic tests will look for impacts on whales and seals. Commercial fisheries are being taken into account, and then there's the surfers, attracted by the same ocean power that makes this project a possibility.
There's a lot of beach break all along that area, and if we put 14 of these panels out, it's not going to take out all the wave areas for surfing, and it might not even be an issue where they are.
Funding and technical help for this testing phase is coming from the federal, state, and local governments. Early estimates put the final cost at about $3 million, but it could be much higher. Borough manager Skip Ryman hopes it'll pencil out, but he's trying to be realistic.
The big question is, of course, is wave energy feasible? Is it going to be something that will actually aid the consumer? If wave energy proves to be more expensive than diesel, then certainly this is something that probably throw it under the bus for us.
It'll take a couple years till that's known. Back at the power plant, Newland remains optimistic.
This might be huge. That's what I'm hoping. You know, if we can harness some of the kinetic energy out of the ocean, it could change the face of power generation for the world.
Or at least for some other coastal Alaska communities. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Yakutat.
For KHNS News, I'm Tara Bicknell, filling in for Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for his contribution to this report.